Welcome to today's Perry Fairway. Let's Talk Dallas County program. My name is Joe Sierwinski. On today's program, I am joined by State Representative for District 19, Chris Hegano. First of all, Chris, thank you so much for joining me this week.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
So, as always, we have a lot to talk about as far as the current legislative session is concerned. And I wanted to start with discussion on an amendment to Iowa's Constitution to make it mirror the United States Constitution. That's the Firearm Amendment. So talk a little bit about this and where it's currently at.
Yeah, it's something that's been around now for 2 or 3 years. You know, the long story of it is we had passed this 2 years ago, and then because of a problem with the publication of it with Secretary of State's office, we had to start over again. But it would add a version, an updated, modernized language of the federal constitutional Second Amendment, and adding similar language to the Iowa Constitution. We're one of a handful of states that don't have those Second Amendment firearm protections in our own Constitution. So it's time for us to get that added.
Okay, and this is the second year of the current General Assembly, so you pretty much have to pass it this year in order for it to stay on a decent trajectory, correct?
Yeah, there's an updated version I think that might be floating around. We did pass a version of it last year, so that version would be eligible into the next General Assembly. So it's a difficult process to amend the state constitution. The resolution has to pass both chambers, so the House and the Senate, in 2 consecutive general assemblies and not 2 consecutive years. So it would be, there has to be an election in between, I think is the thinking behind that. And then after all of that happens, then it goes to the people and they can vote it up or down. So it's very difficult to amend Iowa's constitution. And frankly, I think it should be. I don't think we should do constitutional amendments on a whim and do them lightly. So it is a long process indeed.
Absolutely. Now, some bills that you've been working on, several of them, in fact, the first one I wanted to talk about has to do with youth entrepreneurship. So talk a little bit about this bill for those who are unfamiliar with what it is.
Well, what we did, and it's a simple bill, and frankly, it's kind of frustrating that these are the kinds of things that we need to do. But, you know, we've seen reports and stories, and I'm sure most folks have seen similar ones, where cities and counties are trying to enforce regulations on kids and lemonade stands or whatever they might be doing to make a few dollars on a hot summer day or what it is, but, you know, making them get permits to get a lemonade stand or some other kind of regulation. And there are a few things that are as American as a kid's lemonade stand on a summer day. And so we just passed a bill that would prevent cities from requiring permits for kids to go out and sell snacks and lemonade because, frankly, we should be encouraging our youth to learn about business and entrepreneurship. But it was a good bill, and we got it done.
All right. So is that passed now and on the governor's desk then, or where is that currently at?
That's over to the Senate, but I suspect that they will be taking it up. So the next stop is over there.
All right. Now, another bill that you've been working on that has to do with youth is a bill on special education. So talk a little bit about this one.
Yeah, this is a bill that I authored and have seen a couple of instances where it's been necessary. But a couple of years ago, we passed a change to the College Savings 529 plan that we have in Iowa. So, and it was to reflect the change to the federal law, but to allow those funds to be used for private K-12 education, so actually using it before college. Well, when that law was done, it prevented those folks from using that anywhere but inside the state of Iowa. And so what this bill does is allows that if your child needs special education services, you can use those funds anywhere you want, so you're not restricted to staying in the state of Iowa. And sometimes, you know, out of state, I have some special services that are available that maybe we don't have in Iowa, or the child lives out of state, and, you know, allowing folks to make the choice of what's best for their children. And I was really glad to see that pass, strong bipartisan support, and that one's over to the Senate as well.
All right, another one we'll keep an eye on. Now, one last bill specifically that I want to ask you about is a simple bill, it sounds like, but it sounds like it's still pretty important. That has to do with military and veterans. So talk a little bit about that one.
Yeah. Well, this year I'm serving on the Veterans Affairs Committee for the first time, and it's been really good. But we had a bill that extended veterans benefits to members who had served in the United States Coast Guard, which was very straightforward and made sense. But then as I looked at that after we had passed it out of committee, I thought, well, the one thing that still is missing from that extension of benefits is the newly created United States Space Force. And so I had a very simple one-line amendment which added Space Force to the list of the branches of military for which you would qualify for veterans benefits. And so I think there was some interest in the bill because it was the first time we'd really ever discussed the United States Space Force in the Iowa legislature. But at the same time, I think it's an important bill to make sure that we have the complete list of veterans that are covered.
For sure. Now, just a couple more things I want to ask you about today, starting with the current status of the school funding appropriation. So talk a little bit about where that currently sits.
Yeah, the House has been at an amount which, you know, we try and talk in terms of raw dollars, but is about $110 million package and is at 2.5% per pupil growth. The Senate Republicans have passed a bill which is 2.1% growth. And theirs, I think, is about 90-plus million. And so they're really, as far as I know, I don't think there's been a lot of progress. The Senate leader has been on record as proposing to meet in the middle on those numbers at 2.3, but so far that hasn't been accepted. I think it's time whatever gets resolved and meet in the middle makes sense to me, but that needs to be done and sent so that schools can plan and set their budgets because, you know, we strive to get that done within the first 30 days of session, and we're beyond that. So I'm hopeful that that gets resolved soon, but I think you're seeing something in that range right there.
All right. Last thing I want to ask you about is the recent funnel. We've gone through the first funnel deadline, so talk a little bit about that and maybe some bills that did and didn't make it through the funnel that you worked with.
Yeah, well, first of all, most of the things that I worked on made it through the legislative funnel. I had a couple of small bills that just weren't ready to move forward, but I'm happy that all of the priority bills made it forward. You know, specifically, we just passed recently some legislation to fix the child care cliff effect so that there aren't artificial hurdles to folks who are trying to stay in the workforce and grow and allow parents the opportunity to continue to work. You know, there's some other pieces in there on tax policy that are still alive for the year. Those survive the funnel no matter what. Other things that I wanted to work on that have survived the funnel are the constitutional amendment on life to make sure that the legislature retains its authority to set policy on life and not have the Supreme Court create a fundamental right. That's one that's a priority for me this year. And, you know, several other things. But one thing that was interesting as I was studying this week, this was a very, very prolific year, I guess I'll say, for our committees. There's a lot more than usual that came out of committee. And so I think that you've already seen that this last week as there's been a lot of floor activity. And I think you'll continue to see that. There's just a lot more pieces of legislation floating around this year. And so while we hope to narrow that agenda, there's certainly just a lot of live rounds left for us to sort through.
For sure. Now, just briefly take us through the timeline for the second funnel.
Yeah, the second funnel, we've got a couple more weeks before we hit that. And just as a refresher, the first funnel is a bill has to be out of committee in one or the other chamber. By the second funnel, it needs to be off of the floor and out of committee in the opposite chamber. And so by the time you cross that second funnel, you've really whittled down the things that are eligible for the rest of the year. And it's really a helpful tool because it allows us to focus on the things that still need that attention that rise all the way to the top of continuing to need work. So there's still some time left. We're going to, at least for the next week or two, see a lot of activity in the full House on debate of getting legislation out and over to the Senate in time for them to consider them in committee and get them out on the other side.
All right. Well, State Representative Chris Hageno, anything else that you'd like to mention to our listeners today?
As always, I appreciate the opportunity, and if folks have any comments, questions, concerns, feel free to reach out to me, call, email, anytime.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me this week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Joe.
That's been today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program with Chris Hageno. You can find this program at RaccoonValleyRadio.com. My name is Joe Sorwinski with Raccoon Valley Radio News. Perry Fairway, always fresh, always affordable.